Hey, God bless you guys. Welcome, Summit Online Campus. So awesome to have you here. Hope you enjoyed having everyone with you last week as we had some air quality and high heat things to compete with. But we're back to our live service this weekend. And of course, we're gathering here at our online campus. And we love having you guys. Hey, I'm wrapping up our five-part message series called Better Because of It. And if you've been with us the whole time, then you already know what we're talking about. If not, I encourage you, go back, watch those earlier messages, because as we sort of look around and we're confronted with all of the different things that have really brought out some deep emotions, like I have to be honest with you, doing things that I've never done my entire life and my life changing in a way that feels very, very disruptive, those things stirred something in me. And I noticed there were lots of individual things, and each one brought out a different emotion in me. And not all of those were good emotions, to be quite honest with you. And I really had to ask myself this question. Listen, if I'm going to have to keep wearing a mask, or I'm going to have to keep quarantining, or I'm going to have to keep distancing from people, or I'm going to have to keep doing things this way, am I going to get angrier and angrier? Am I going to get more frustrated? Am I going to get more discontent? Am I going to get more bitter because of this? Or is this a great opportunity for God to do something in me and actually make me better because of it? And I really, really do believe that God is using this opportunity to bring out better things in us. So I really do encourage you, go back, watch those earlier messages over the last 4 weeks. But I'm glad you're here for this week, because we're wrapping up on a really, really important message. I remember from a movie, I think it's from a movie that he says this, but Morgan Freeman has this quote. How do we change the world? He asked. One random act of kindness at a time. I think it was in Evan Almighty, he may have said that. How do we change the world? One random act of kindness at a time. And I think Mr. Freeman is probably on to something there. I think that we do need more kindness. Absolutely, we do need more kindness. I have no doubt that kindness is a big part of the equation on how we change the world. But I don't think it's going to come through random acts of kindness. I think it's actually going to come from, let's say, not so random acts of kindness. So if you ever watch Ellen DeGeneres' show, The Ellen Show, then you know that she signs off on every show by saying, be kind to one another. That's become her kind of personal catchphrase, right? And the messaging seemed to have gone really well with her image. After all, she had become sort of synonymous with really, really doing some amazingly generous and kind-hearted and benevolent things for people. If she found somebody that was going through a very difficult time or was facing a overwhelming sickness or had a plan or an agenda to help the world, she would bring them onto her show. And she would surprise them often. They might possibly need to go to college or pay off some medical bills, or they had a lifelong dream they couldn't afford to see come to fruition, or they had some worthy project that lacked funding. She would give tens and tens of thousands of dollars. And of course, she did her 12 days of Christmas giveaway, and she would give away all of these amazing things to her crowd. And that be kind to one another catchphrase seemed to come from her being an authentically kind person. But if you've been watching any of the news recently, then you know that there are some former staff members and some current staff members that really have a different perspective of her. They have a different take on things. They sort of describe the work environment there as being hostile, and maybe that Ellen herself comes off as cold and distant and sometimes very unkind to people. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if any of that's true. I don't know if all the things they're saying are true about her. I know people can make things up. I know that a lot of times false allegations get made. She may be a wonderful person. She may be incredibly kind. But I will say this, that if any of the things that they're saying about her are true, then I think she's the poster child from something that you and I suffer from. Can I tell you what that is? You and I suffer from the delusion that we are authentically kind people. And here's where we get that delusion from. We think that because we do kind things, that makes us an authentically kind person. And I genuinely believe that you have the capacity to do kind things. You're doing kind things. I'm doing kind things. The question really is, are we kind people? Well, we know that Ellen has done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of very, very kind things, but there's a lot of people who don't think she's a kind person. Not authentically, not genuinely kind. So here's the question I want to ask you. What do people think about you? I have to ask that question about myself. When I'm not with someone and when they have the opportunity to just talk about me behind my back, and it does happen to us, by the way, what are people saying about us? Do they believe that we are genuinely kind people? We think we're kind people. We think we are kind, and that is our character because we do kind things. And when we do those kind things, we probably have pretty good intentions, pretty good motives. The question really is, though, is do people see us as authentically kind? I'm talking about family, talking about friends of ours, coworkers who just have the opportunity to work with you and then distance themselves and form their opinion when they're not around you. What about complete strangers who have only had very brief encounters with you? What about cashiers or bank tellers or your child's teacher who just know very little about you, but they formed an opinion about you already? Well, that makes me want to be intentional about becoming authentically kind. And you go, wow, this feels like a elementary school lesson. Like, we need to be kind to each other. Come on, kids, we're going to be kind. But you may not know this, being kind, genuinely, authentically kind, is one of the most spiritually mature disciplines and Christ-like characteristics that you and I can possess in our life. There is no one who ever knew Jesus that could not assign to him the characteristic of true, authentic, genuine kindness. And so you and I are going to spend just a couple minutes together today. We're talking about three things that make us better at being authentically kind. So take out your notes if you don't already have them out, and let's go through this together. To get better at being authentically kind, I have to, number one, start from the place of self-awareness and humility. Start from the place of self-awareness and humility. So there's a famous quote by a man named Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. He said this, "You can easily judge the character of a man by how he treats those who can do nothing for him." I'll say it again. You can easily judge the character of a man or a woman by how he treats those who can do nothing for him. So, unfortunately, we sort of all know that person that you go out to dinner with some friends that maybe you haven't hung out with in a long, long time, and you're at the table and the server comes and you see them treat the server really poorly, and they talk down to them and they treat them disrespectfully, or the person you stand behind in line in the grocery store talks down to the cashier and talks to them like lowly servants. We've all seen those kind of people, that they only reserve their respect and kindness for those they consider equal or better. We cringe around that person because we know there's really no excuse for that kind of behavior. But what about that person too, that maybe you work with them, or maybe you're related to them, or maybe you're married to them? They always have to set the record straight. They hear somebody say something that they disagree with, and they've got to get into that fight right away. Or they can't help themselves. As soon as they see something on Facebook, social media, anything, they have to give their opinion. They love getting into the political debates. They love to make sure that all the morons who would even think about voting for you-know-who. See, here's what's funny. As soon as I said you-know-who, you put your candidate or the other candidate in that spot, because that's sort of where we're at as a country. And we can't stand the idea that other people disagree with us, and we've got to set the record straight. We've got to get in there, and we pull back kindness, compassion, generosity, empathy, sympathy, and we just lay it on thick with that righteous indignation, and we feel justified in doing that. At least some people do. because we think we're fighting the good fight. We think we're standing up for what's right, and we think that if we exercise kindness and compassion, a character of kindness, then we're going to get walked on, and our viewpoint, what we're fighting for, the goodness of what we're fighting for is going to get overlooked. And by the way, if you're having a hard time thinking of who that person might be, it's you. You're the one that people don't like to get into arguments. You're the one who people don't like to disagree with because you can't be kind when you're doing it. You're the one mistreating people at the restaurant. Because unfortunately, we turn on and off our kindness because it's not a characteristic of who we truly are. It's not a spiritual discipline. It's not the Christ-like character in us that God wants to see happening in us. We just sort of use it as a tool. We're kind when we need to be, and we're kind to who we need to be. Listen, there is never going to be a shortage, not now and not ever will there be a shortage of reasons for us to walk around angry at people or at circumstances or at the condition of the world. You'll never run out of reasons to be upset and to be walking around with that righteous indignation. But Scripture sets us straight, puts us in our place when it says this. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Listen to what it says. Stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or even be rude. Man, could we just take that passage right there and put it above our computer monitor so that every time we log on to social media, every time we walk into work, put it on our mirror in our car, put it on our mirror when we're getting ready in the morning so that we can regulate our behavior. It says, instead be kind and merciful. That's worth circling. It's worth finding this passage in your Bible and highlighting it. Instead, be kind and merciful and forgive others. Listen, just as God forgave you because of Christ. Being authentically kind and merciful to people isn't based on their worthiness of receiving your kindness. I'm going to say it again. Being kind and merciful to people isn't based on their worthiness, whether or not they've earned your kindness. It's based instead on you and I understanding how undeserving we are of God's kindness and mercy. That's being self-aware. That's being humbled by the awareness that you and I do not deserve God's kindness. We do not deserve God's mercy. We don't deserve God's compassion, His empathy. We don't deserve anything good from God. Yet He's so generous and lavishing grace and kindness and compassion and mercy on us every single day. So who are you and I to withhold goodness and mercy and kindness from anyone else? Shouldn't be what we do. And I get it. You're saying to yourself right now, PC, listen, I hear you. I want to do that. I want to be kind, but there, you don't get it. You don't get the person I'm married to. You don't get the person I work with. You don't understand some of the people I deal with. You don't understand this person that just brings out the worst in me. You might be surprised to find out I completely and totally do understand that because I'm human. Because I struggle too, because I fight to be an authentically kind person all the time. It's easy when somebody brings out the best in me to be kind to them. It's easy when I like someone. It's easy when I need something from somebody to be kind. But what about the people I don't need anything from? What about the people who just bring out the absolute worst in me? What about people who are the absolute worst? Listen, you and I will have a very difficult time drawing anything out of ourselves to be kind to that person because you and I are absolutely toxically contaminated with sin. But listen, as followers of Christ, our ambition every single day is to let our flesh die and the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit come through us. Let me say that again. It's your job and my job to move out of the way and let the power of the Holy Spirit move through us. But listen to Galatians 5, 21 through 23, and then we're going to move on. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. There's no spiritual law or natural law against those things. Kindness is a behavior, a discipline, a fruit, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. It's generated through the power of Christ in your life, not in you and not in me. Number two is this: to get better at being authentically kind, I have to make it part of my self-serving strategy. Now, I'm going to need to explain this point, so hang there with me for a couple minutes. Make it part of my self-serving strategy. So can I make a confession right now that may jeopardize some of my future goals and plans, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to share it with you anyway. Okay, at the risk of losing my effectiveness in doing this, I'm going to share it because it's a good way to illustrate my point. There are times that I will kind of spontaneously, it appears as if it's spontaneous, I will go to Lisa and I will give her some money. And I will say, hey, this is just for fun. Go out, get yourself something. If you want to go get your nails done, get your hair done. If you want to go buy clothes, if you want to go shopping, if you want to go do a spa day, if you want to, anything you want. There's something you've been wanting to buy, but you just didn't think we had the money. Here, I want you to take this and go do. And she'll be like, what? I can't. Why? No, I don't want to do that. And I said, no, go on, go do it. Can I tell you that it's not always true when I do this. Sometimes I'm being authentic and sometimes I'll do that spontaneously. And sometimes I do it just because I want her to have that. There are as many times that I'll do that because I want to give her money to go get something she doesn't need and just wants, because there's something I want to buy that I don't need and I just want. And she will not give me any grief for buying that if she herself has just gotten money to go get something she doesn't need. Now, I probably won't ever get to pull that stunt again, so there's going to be a long time before I get anything I want. But that just goes to help illustrate how you and I are kind of self-serving. It's a very self-serving strategy when I do that. It's, again, not always, but there are some times I do that. I want to get something out of it, so I only do something kind and generous because I'm going to get something in return. And you and I mean, really, from childhood, sort of want to know, whether we ask it out loud or whether we cognitively say it in our minds, subconsciously, we are always asking ourselves the question, what do I get out of this? I like the way the Living Bible says it in Proverbs 11:17. Your own soul is nourished when you are kind, and it's destroyed when you're cruel. I love that because it helps answer the question in our life, what do I get out of this? And the Bible's very clear. You actually benefit. It actually creates health in your life, wholeness in your life. You become a better person because you are kind to other people, not because they deserve it, not because they're expecting it, not because you're getting anything back out of it, but you're generating health in your own life. Your soul, your mind, your spirit is fed because you're kind. And then third and finally is this: to get better at being authentically kind, I have to use it as a weapon to defeat the ugliness I see around me. Use it as a weapon to defeat the ugliness I see around me. So you've probably heard the expression, never bring a knife to a gunfight. And the meaning is fairly obvious. You don't want to show up to a fight underpowered. You want to bring weaponry that's equal to the weaponry that's being used against you. You want to match the strength of your opponent. So you and I want to know what we're supposed to bring to those who mistreat us, to those who lie about us, to those who attack our reputation, to those who hate us, to those who belittle us or steal from us, or those who cheat us, or those who try to humiliate us. And if you don't have someone in your life that's doing that to you now or any of those things to you right now, you will, or you have had in the past, because that's just the nature sometimes of people. You may not like the weapon I'm about to hand you. You may not even think it's the right weapon I'm about to hand you. I remember in the first Men in Black movie when Will Smith's character is first getting acclimated to fighting all the aliens, and his kind of supervisor is handing him his first weapon, and it's just this tiny little gun, and he's all frustrated and angry because he gets this tiny little thing, and there's all these giant guns, and he thinks he should be getting one of those, but he gets this tiny little thing, and he thinks it's the wrong weapon for him to have. He later finds out it puts off this huge, huge blast and can destroy everything around. And you may think what I'm about to hand you, the weapon you're supposed to use to combat all of these things, you're going to may think it, you're probably going to think it's a knife and you're going into a gunfight. But I want to read this to you and hopefully your mind will be changed. This is Luke 6:27 through 31. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. He says, if you're listening, here's my message. Keep loving your enemies no matter what they do. Keep doing good to those who hate you. Keep speaking blessings on those who curse you. Keep praying for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, offer the other cheek too. If someone steals your coat, offer them your shirt too. If someone steals someone begs from you, well then give to him. If someone robs you of your valuables, don't demand them back. Think of the kindness you wish others would show you and do the same for them. Jesus says the way to respond to hatred, to meanness, to cheating, to attacks on your character, to curses on your life, to evil things that people are doing to you is to react in the complete opposite spirit. That way you never surrender to that. You're never defeated by that. The thing meant to defeat you, it never defeats you. Because at the end of a war, what is the goal? It's to win. It's to not be defeated. It's to leave alive, right? Every soldier who goes on the battlefield wants to stop the enemy, but just as importantly, wants to leave that battlefield alive, because that's winning, is when on the right side, more of you walk away from that battle than those on the wrong side. And those who are doing wrong things to you and I, when we meet them with the opposite spirit, we extinguish those flaming darts, those flaming arrows that are pointed at us. Jesus says, you just need to be kind to them the way you would want somebody to be kind to you. You exercise that kindness on them. Jesus is talking about planting seeds of kindness all around you, digging a moat around you of kindness, filling it up with kind character, protecting yourself from the attacks of those who would do you harm with cruelty and meanness and curses and attacks on our character and stealing and robbing and trying to wound us. Jesus says you find protection and health and victory when you build that moat of kindness around you. I absolutely love that. It's the kindness of Jesus that we're trying to emulate. It's the authentic Christ-like character of kindness in our lives. And I'm going to tell you, in this world for the last 6 months, there's been very, very little of this being practiced. And sadly, very little being practiced by followers of Christ. And I want to see us step up to the challenge. I want to see us become better because of this. So would you pray with me? And maybe you're struggling with this, and maybe you're dealing with this, and maybe you're ready to make a decision to move further and become better at that Christ-like character of kindness in your life. Well, let's invite the Holy Spirit into this moment and let God take charge and let God push out the kind of things that you and I have been leaning into and leaning on, and instead just rest in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, I thank you for wanting your highest and best in our life and realizing that we need incentive. And that incentive is that we get something out of this. When we're kind, it actually builds kindness in our life. It welcomes kindness in our life. It stirs kindness to us. We become receivers, receptors of greater kindness because we've planted seeds of kindness. This isn't a children's church lesson. This is for the truly spiritually mature to get a hold of. One of the great marks of our maturity is whether we're authentically kind, not to people who are kind to us, not to those who quote unquote deserve it, but for those who don't deserve it, for those who are ugly to us, for those who are mean-spirited to us, for those who would attack us. That's the true mark of Christ-likeness, because you exercise that kind of kindness, compassion, mercy, tenderness, and forgiveness to everyone. Undeserving, and that includes us. We are undeserving of your kindness, yet you pour it all over our lives. So we want to be that. We want to receive that. We want to act in that. We want to walk in that in your name. We're praying for it, believing for it, accepting it and receiving it as if it's already been done in our lives, walking in that victory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.